Welcome to the Dan Decker Books Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Decker. This podcast is dedicated to providing my books in full, unabridged audio format. Look for new episodes every Tuesday. Now, on with the show. Black Brick by Dan Decker. Hello, and welcome back to the Dan Decker Books Podcast. This week, we are continuing to read Black Brick. Last week, we read, "It might help if you got the gun out of her face," Shannon said as she came into the office. She took up a position at the side of the door where she could look out into the hallway. I smiled, feeling a little awkward as I lowered my gun. In the confusion, I had not noticed that I was pointing it at the woman. "Becca," I said, reading the name plaque on the woman's desk. "We're not going to hurt you, but I can't let you call for help. At least, not yet." We heard voices from the hallway, and Shannon closed the door. "For the last time, who are you?" It was Payne. There was a pause. "I'm not with anybody," Cherry said, her voice a small squeak. And now, 12. Shannon grimaced when she heard Cherry's voice and her demeanor changed. Before, Shannon had been alert and ready for anything. Now her face tightened, and she twisted her neck to either side. I hoped she would not do anything stupid. If she did, I would have no choice but to back her up. Of the four of us, Cherry was the most cautious and the least likely to do something that would get her caught, but I was not surprised that she was nervous. It was not that she was not capable or a good shot. She was calmer in stressful situations than Tom, but I'd always seen her as the weakest among us. I wasn't the only one. Shannon and Tom were protective of her too, which isn't a good sign if you're a spy. The conversation continued, but I wasn't paying attention to the words. I listened for the sound of her voice, willing away my desire to rush blindly to her aid. I grabbed Shannon's arm as she made a move for the door. She glared at me and held up her pistol. She did not aim it at me, but her message was clear. Get out of the way. Somewhere in the back of my mind, I wondered why Payne had not just shot Cherry outright. He was not one to have a conversation when a bullet could do his talking for him. I pushed the question away with relief that he seemed content to banter with Cherry, whatever his reason. I pointed to Becca. We cannot let her get hurt. Becca had become pale and was cowering in her chair. Her arms were folded, as if she was trying to hug herself. I whispered an instruction to Becca to get under the desk while keeping my eyes on Shannon. I expected her to bolt towards the door. I tried to think of a way to keep Shannon from barging out, but by the time Becca had crawled under her desk, I had not been able to come up with anything. I could not let Shannon go alone, but I also wanted to live through the day. "Tell me how many more there are," Payne said, "and it will go better for you." Cherry snorted, but was cut off with a shriek. "Wait to see if they walk past our door," I whispered. "We'll take them from behind." "Payne is going to kill her," Shannon said. "Can we help if we're filled with holes?" I asked. "Get out of my way," Shannon said. I doubted Payne would kill Cherry in the middle of the hallway because Becca could not be the only witness on the floor. There were several thuds and Cherry groaned. Shannon pushed me out of the way. I growled under my breath. That woman was going to get me killed. I readied my pistol and tried to visualize what was happening in the hall. I imagined a picture of six men and planned on shooting four in rapid succession while keeping my aim away from Cherry. "I'm going. Come if you want." Shannon reached for the door. "I go left," I said. "You go right." Shannon nodded and burst into the hallway with me close on her heels. From the start, even though there were fewer than I expected, I knew we were in trouble and that our reckless attack had been stupid. I should have wrestled Shannon to the floor to keep her from leaving. The men were looking our direction when we entered the hallway and already had guns drawn. I fired at the first man on the left, my first two shots going into him as he started to raise his pistol. Too late, I realized I was aiming at the same man as Shannon. Cursing, I turned to the next man in time to see the barrel of a pistol explode in my direction. Everything seemed to slow down. The flash from the muzzle of the gun seared into my brain. I could have sworn I saw the bullet coming at me. It took me in the chest and knocked me back into the door jamb. I gulped for breath, afraid that the round had pierced my armored vest. All other thoughts fled from me. I could not breathe. It was funny how something I had always taken for granted became the only thing I could think about. There were more shots all around me, and somebody else fell to the ground. I thought somebody was calling my name, but it sounded so far away. Breathe. I needed to breathe. My mouth hung open, and my arms flailed about as I worked on my lungs. When I was able to choke out a cough, I inhaled. It was shallow, but it was air. I gulped another breath. I heard Shannon calling to me. I could not understand what she was saying. I felt my chest and was relieved that my hand did not come away sticky with blood. Jake, are you all right? Shannon asked, kneeling beside me. My head spun, and I saw her in double. Cherry, I asked. I'm here, Jake. I pushed myself up on one arm. Another man lay dead beside the one that Shannon and I had killed. Payne was gone. Where's Payne? He got away, Shannon said. Can you walk? Yeah, I'll be fine, I said. My tongue felt heavy and thick. I coughed. Beltran won't be pleased if we don't get Payne. I can see Beltran now. Getting shot is no excuse for letting Payne get away. I pushed to my knees, felt a little lightheaded, and took a breath, and then stood up. My chest felt like a wrecking ball had just hit it, and I was sure I would be sporting a bruise, if not cracked ribs, for some time. What happened to Griffith? I asked. Payne killed her, Cherry said. I'm glad you guys came along when you did. He was going to kill me, too. That would have normally been the place where Shannon would have thrown in an I told you so, but she kept silent. I noticed that she was staring at the tear in my shirt where the bullet had hit. I could only hope she was regretting her rash action. It was too late now, but maybe she would be more careful next time. Where's Tom? Cherry asked. It should not take him long to find us, I said. The shooting will get his attention. I noticed that Shannon was bleeding. I reached out to her arm. What happened? I snagged it somewhere. I pulled up the sleeve of her shirt against her protests. Snagged on a bullet, you mean? It can wait, she said. Ah, that was the Shannon that I knew. We can't wait for Tom, Cherry said. Even if Payne weren't getting away, who else heard the gunfight? I remembered Becca and went back into her office. She was still hiding under her desk, trembling. Becca, I said. You know that call you were making earlier? Give us about 10 minutes and then finish it. I did not wait for a response as we headed for the stairs. The elevator might be faster, but considering my condition, I wasn't about to be shut up in a box that could become a cage with the push of a button. The others were of the same opinion. We entered the stairs expecting an ambush. Shannon led the way with Cherry close behind. I wondered if the growing bruise on my chest was going to affect my ability to keep up. My whole chest burned. When they reached the main floor, Shannon and Cherry burst into the lobby without waiting for me. I was a flight behind them. By the time I was outside the building, they were already halfway down the block. There was a hint of smoke in the air, and the smoke was partially obscured. Whether it was cloud cover, smog, or smoke from the train explosions, I could not tell. I gasped for breath, clutching my chest and coughed. Pain racked my body. Steeling myself, I dashed after them as best I could, expecting not to be able to keep up, but they stopped soon after they started. I wasn't prepared for what I saw next. Bill Martinez had Payne at gunpoint and was ordering him into a black Suburban, the door of which was being held open by a man that I did not recognize. What was Martinez doing here? He was supposed to have left last night on an assignment to D.C. A question reoccurred to me, and even though I did not like the answer that came to mind, something else seemed to make sense. Why hadn't Payne killed Cherry? Martinez might be here to help us out, or he could be rescuing Payne for his own reasons. If there was a connection between Payne and Martinez, Payne would have gone out of his way to keep from harming Cherry. The thought bounced around my head as I took in the scene. Something was not right. I aimed my pistol at Martinez. I did not have a strong explanation for my actions, but any trust I had for him had evaporated long ago. There may have been a logical reason as to why he was here, or why Payne had not harmed Cherry, but I was not willing to take the chance. What are you doing, Jake? Martinez asked. Stop fooling around. You're not supposed to be here, Bill, I said. Are you out of your mind? Martinez asked. I'm here on Beltran's orders. He sent me to help after your little stunt on the train. I am sick and supposed to be resting, but I was called in to save your sorry team. Now put away your gun and stand down. I supposed it was possible that Martinez could have aborted his trip to D.C. for being sick, but that did not sound like him. And he looked fine. It would take a lot more than the flu or a cold to bench him on the sidelines. No, something was wrong. Why don't I recognize your men? Shannon, take Payne. I was not able to see Shannon and was unwilling to take my eyes off Martinez. You haven't met half of the people that we work with, Martinez said. Put your gun down and we'll forget this happened. Look, I get it. You don't want me to take credit for Payne's capture. That's fine. You guys did all the hard work. I'll make sure Belcher knows. Now stand down. I felt a hand on my shoulder. Jake, come on, Shannon said. We need to get going. We'll sort this all out back at Blackbrick, okay? Cherry was on my other side. She put her hand on my arm. You're not thinking clearly. You have been shot. I lowered my pistol. This was wrong. I was certain. I had been shot in the chest, not the head. But now my pistol was down. Cherry and Shannon both latched onto me and pulled me away. Martinez smiled as he got into the vehicle. I'll see you guys at Blackbrick. As the Suburban peeled away, I stared after them, positive I'd seen a smirk on Payne's face as the car disappeared. Wasn't that Payne? Tom asked, running up. Why did you let Martinez take him? I turned away from the road and studied Tom. He was out of breath, and his face was flush with sweat. We are fools, I said. Martinez is not going back to Blackbrick. Shannon shook her head but remained silent. I got the impression that she did not want to rip into me so soon after being shot. Where have you been? Cherry asked. Looking for you. I found Lauren Griffith's body surrounded by a bunch of men in suits. They're on my tail. The sound of approaching sirens reached our ears, and I noticed that there were way too many people looking at us. I shoved my pistol into my pocket. See you guys back at Blackbrick, Tom said, taking off at a run. Cherry ran in a different direction. Are you okay? Shannon asked, nervously looking around. We can go together if you want. It would have been against protocol for us to stay together in a situation like this. Beltran already had enough to be unhappy about. It did not seem worth it to push it much further. Take care of yourself, I said, and jogged away. I struggled to breathe, and my chest hurt, but I did not slow down. The others were not convinced, but I knew the truth. Martinez had just betrayed us. I tried to run faster, but I was rewarded with a coughing fit that forced me to slow until I could catch my breath. That's it for this week. I hope you have enjoyed the show. Tune in next week for another installment of the Dan Decker Books Podcast. One last thing before you go. Sign up for my newsletter at dandeckerbooks.com, and you will receive a free ebook. The text, audio, and music for this show are all copyrighted by Dan Decker. All rights reserved. This podcast is published by Xander Revolutions LLC.